Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in at this time from Radio.com Sports, NFL Insider down in Miami, Armando Salguero. Armando, good morning. How is everything?
Everything is great. I didn't get a drum roll, though, so I'm kind of bummed about that, but everything is great.
Yeah, well, I mean, you remember last time you were on, you said it would take rapture for the Steelers to lose to the Dolphins. We got a lot of run out of that because then the Steelers, well, lost to the Dolphins, right? So you made a lot of headway here in the Steel City. What will it take for the Steelers to lose to the Dolphins this time?
The apocalypse. The apocalypse. I'm going with that. Any biblical reference that I can come up with that would denote total disaster, that's the one. So I'm going with the apocalypse.
How much Fitzmagic is required to bring on the apocalypse?
Look, so Ryan Fitzpatrick is he's a quarterback. Yeah. The thing is, you don't know who's going to show up. It's either going to be Fitzmagic, like you mentioned, who is a pretty solid quarterback and has played 14 years and his 15th year has been a starter for eight different teams, or you're going to get Fitztragic. And that means that he shows up, he starts, and he throws two interceptions and maybe fumbles once. Last week against Buffalo, he did both of those. He threw a touchdown pass. He scored a touchdown pass on an 11-yard run. He also threw an interception and fumbled once. Actually, fumbled twice, lost one. So it's an up-and-down situation with Fitz. I love him, but, oh boy, you never know what you're going to get.
Armando Salguero, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider down in Miami. Were they square and up front with Brian Flores when he took this job, when they named him, that it was going to be a building process like this and they were going to take away pieces in order to sort of tank like this?
Yeah, you're being very nice about the rebuilding. This is an all-out, you know, drop your pants and tank. They were honest. And that's the reason that his agent was able to get a five-year guaranteed contract instead of the traditional four-year guaranteed contract for a first-year head coach. And because everyone knew that this first year was going to be kind of a disaster and that Brian Flores really wouldn't have much of a chance to succeed and that, you know, he was basically on a redshirt year, and that's exactly the way it's played out.
But so here's the question then, Armando. If everybody knows it's going to be a dumpster fire all year and that it's an extended rebuild, why not then just commit to Rosen right away rather than letting Fitzpatrick play out the string?
That's a great question. And the answer is because the Dolphins are doing this in a kind of an evil sort of way, like a strategic sort of way. You got to understand, the personnel department, which wants the maximum amount of draft picks next year and wants those to be of the highest quality, they set this roster to be, you know, basically just terrible, underwater. They got rid of all the talent, most of the talent anyway, and didn't replace it. But the coaching staff can't operate that way. They've got to answer to the players who remain. And they've got to be true to the idea that we're trying to win. That's the reason we practice. That's the reason, as Bill Parcells said, you lift all them weights. You're trying to win. And so what Brian Flores has done is he's tried to manage that and walk a fine line of, well, I know that we're tanking, but I've got to do the best that I can so that the players still respect me. Because if the players don't think that you're trying, there's no reason for them to be trying, and then the season becomes a real disaster. You got to understand, the team lost by 49 points in the season opener, but they've actually gotten better with this bad roster. They lost by 10 points last week, and by one point the week before. So they are getting better. They are improving, but they're still not good enough to win.
You could text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Armando Salguero, Radio.com, Sports NFL Insider. You've had your finger on the pulse of all things South Florida for a long time. Are these Dolphins fans mad and angry, or are they apathetic and not paying attention right now? Because those are two very divergent thoughts, and one is very dangerous, I think, which is apathy.
Yeah, I think those are the two extremes, and I think we're somewhere in the middle. And here's the middle. Dolphin fans who, you know, were raised on Dan Marino and mattering every year and being relevant, and were raised on, hey, once upon a time, that team was back-to-back Super Bowl champions, and they had a perfect season, and no one else has done that. In the 21st century, they've gone through 6-10, 8-8, 7-9, 6-10, 7-9, 8-8, a couple of 10-6s, and they were just tired of being on that treadmill of just barely mediocre. They were tired of it. So the way that this year has been portrayed is, we're going to take a step back, and next year we're going to go forward, so that in the future we are relevant all the time and we're winning all the time. And the only way that you do that is you find a quarterback. And the only way normally that you find a quarterback is having a pretty high draft pick in the first round.
Are they prepared for other guys, other young guys, who they would probably prefer to be a part of the rebuilding process, to go all Minka Fitzpatrick on them and say, hey, I want out?
Yeah, that came and went, in that Minka wasn't the only one that wanted out. There were others, including Kiko Alonso, and those guys got traded as well. And what you have left in the locker room, with maybe one exception or two, I would say probably just one, is guys that are try-hard players, or guys like Christian Wilkins, who was drafted this year and doesn't know any better, or guys who like Xavien Howard, who signed a big contract, and he knows he's here. So they don't have this option of, well, I don't want to be here, I don't like this option, I don't like, you know, what we're doing, get me out of here. Most of these guys are now either bought in or they are locked in one way or the other.
Armando Salguero, Radio.com, Sports NFL Insider. I do want to ask you a different question in one moment. Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorky Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. And here it is. Again, I can't relay to our listener enough, and they know, they recognize your name, how much you have it locked down in South Florida. Pitt plays the Hurricanes this weekend, right? They play Miami, their homecoming game. Now, in Western Pennsylvania, there's this thought, and I think it's pervasive probably in the Northeast and probably in a lot of college football places. Miami should just win by virtue of they don't need to get in an airplane and recruit. Miami should win more because it's Florida. It's Miami. It's South Florida. There's a gazillion high school players. Is that the right thought, and what are they doing wrong if they're not just rolling the ball out and winning?
Right. That is the right thought, because once upon a time, people like Howard Schnellenberger and Jimmy Johnson, who were coaches here in Miami, had a lot of success, including with Western Pennsylvania quarterback. What was his name? Yeah, Jim Kelly. So they did the thing that they called, they put a line, a border, over the state of Miami. When you talk about Broward County down here and Miami-Dade County, there's a lot of football talent down here. It's the best place in the nation to recruit, if not the second best, outside of maybe California or Texas. So Miami just fed on those recruits, except that everybody else was looking around while Miami was winning 5 national championships and decided, maybe we should spend some time recruiting down there. And now you've got Alabama recruiting down here. You've got the SEC recruiting down here. You have no idea how much I turn on the television on a Saturday and watch LSU or Miami, LSU or Alabama or Georgia, and they're full of Miami talent, talent that used to go to the University of Miami. And so now Miami's in a competitive situation with those teams, And frankly, they can't compete.
I know the Gators are having a better year this year, but does it feel like this is the lowest point we've ever been in the ebb and flow of that combined rivalry of Florida, Florida State, Miami?
Oh, my God. When you have two of the three state powers, Miami, Florida, and Florida State, and two of them, you have questions about the security of their coach. That's a bad time for Florida football.
Yeah, and Pitt's already beat who some people thought was the best team in Florida, and that's UCF when they came up here a little bit earlier this year. Armando, we thank you so much. So no way the Dolphins lose this game. Jay Ajayi isn't going to show up and run for a gazillion yards, is he?
No, that's not going to happen. And I'm sure Jay Ajayi would show up, but it would have to be on crutches right now because one of his knees is terrible. But the Dolphins, you know, look out, because if the Dolphins beat the Steelers, oh my gosh, the next morning the sun will rise in the west.
And Mike Tomlin might be the Dolphins defensive coordinator too if that happens.
Amazing.
Because he won't be the Steelers head coach, I don't think. But thank you so much. We appreciate it. Check it out, radio.com, Armando Salguero, radio.com, NFL Insider. We'll talk again soon.
All right, man.
See you, Armando.
All right, we'll see you. Oh, such, he's just so good all the time. Love him. And he's got it locked down. I mean, he's the guy in South Florida everybody goes
That's
to.
A really strong point, though, that I don't think really resonates with people as much as it should in relation to the talent that's available in South Florida and how you can look at any college football roster now. Any college football roster anywhere from the Washington Huskies to to Boston College to San Diego State, across the country, everybody's got somebody from Florida.
Well, think of LeGarrette Blunt. Yeah. I mean, he ran the football at Oregon, right?
It's not Florida. The same as when all the talent stayed at those three schools.
You need to get, if you're the Hurricanes, you need to get two or three or four of those studs and probably a quarterback or running back or receiver, if not all of them. And the players need to recruit themselves. It's not the coaches.
Right.
You need to get a stallion. You know,
you need, like you said, you need kids to attract their friend. You need the old Sean Clifford, KJ Hamler relationship between the big time players down in South Florida.
And I am going to watch the U documentary again tonight because we just talked to Armando, which is one of the greatest ever. There was no higher time in college football than when the Hurricanes were just running up the tunnel, shooting the pistols. I mean, just the crazy nonsense that they were involved in.
Convicts versus Catholics.
So great.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.